Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas of Miriam Frund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. Miriam Neshama merit a continuous aliyah in the source of the Torah that we will share this evening. Baruch Hashem weekly, sponsored by the Frund family and Congregation Shari Tefillah. So we are talking about acquiring emuna by contemplating suffering. We're on page 245. We're not going to get so far in the Sefer at all, and you're going to see why. So I'm just going to begin reading from the beginning of the page. Last time we spoke about acquiring emuna by contemplating suffering, and we quoted Rav Elimelech Biderman. Rav Biderman teaches that one of the numbers that Avram discovered Hashem by was 48. Rav Biderman explains what that means, and contemplating Hashem and coming to emuna through suffering. That's the title. We explained above that conditional love differs from person to person, depending on the degree of one's recognition of Hashem's kindness. So we're talking about love and Ahavas Hashem. That's why it's called conditional love. So it's conditional on recognizing Hashem's kindness. We explained at length there are two ways to appreciate that even suffering and events that seem evil are really expressions of Hashem's kindness. So someone asked what Sefer we're learning. That's a good question. We're learning the Sefer building a sanctuary in the heart. It's the English adaptation of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. It's really Sefer to help us all increase our emunah. Okay? So many events occur that at the time seem to be negative, but later it turns out that they're positive. One must apply the lessons from such revealed cases to the hidden cases. Even when we don't see the kindness, it's there. So remember last week I told you, I was re-preparing because I always go back and I always go forward again. Last week I mentioned about Risa Rahman's son, who the shidduch was found because the, his mother-in-law heard his hesped for his father, Shemin Kamdamo, and reached out, and that was how the shidduch was made. So sometimes from very deep darkness, hiddenness, you don't see Hashem, turns out that there's great kindness. Not only do we not understand suffering, but we don't even understand kindness because it comes from the infinite creator. So just because we see something that looks like kindness, it doesn't really mean that it's a pure kindness because we don't understand it. We can only see parts of kindness, but not the full depth. Once a person realizes he does not grasp Hashem's kindness, he has simple faith and emunah pshuta that all the works of Hashem are truly good. So I personally find it much easier. Now, sometimes you hear, you see two people, in fact, reach out to me, one via email after last week's share and one via WhatsApp to share stories where it looked like something bad, but it was really something good. So I'm not going to give the specific examples that we're sharing with me, and it's true. In both of those cases, it looked like it was bad, but it turned out to be for the good. But it wasn't like the Shush Yuvuder family, I'm not sure you pronounce their name, when five members of the family died, were murdered in Sabaro, and then you see how it's good. So sometimes if, you know, do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't want to give the specific examples. Like, I don't know. I don't want to give the specific examples, but they were things that seem not good, but not unlike, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Not a tragic way.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter didn't get into a summer program, so she was very upset, and instead she went to do college courses. She was able to graduate early, and then when she went for a master's program, it happened to be that just that year, there was a free, it was a scholarship, it was, and she wouldn't have been able to get it if she had done a summer program.
Correct.
But it's not
perfect
like
example.
Somebody, yes,
but yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Right. So Esther just gave it as an example. Her daughter didn't get into a certain summer program because she didn't get into the summer program. Therefore, she ended up taking college courses. Therefore, she was a little bit accelerated. And when she got to whatever it was, the master's or certain program, there was a scholarship available exactly right then. Had she ended up in the summer program, she would have been eligible for the scholarship. So that's exactly what I'm trying to say. So two people reached out to me with similar stories. So clearly, it's Yad Hashem. For me personally, I have a heart eye. I'm not talking about anybody else. Those are wonderful, and it's true, and you do see Yad Hashem, and they're a big chizuk. It's harder for me to see how something that's a true, you use the word tragedy, or calamity, or Rachman al-Tzan Hashem Yerachim, a disaster on a significant scale, is also for the good. So that is where the Mechaber says, at that point, you just need a Muna Peshuta, because otherwise, nobody could explain how those things are the good. You know, a year ahead, a year behind, it's okay. I'll tell you something funny. This year was supposed to be Tuesday night. We were supposed to be arriving shortly in Denver for a bas mitzvah, my niece's bas mitzvah weekend, Shabbos. The family's not together so often, especially with COVID. They live very far away. Okay. So someone in the family had COVID. The whole thing was canceled. So for me personally, I mean, I'm very disappointed I wanted to be there, but it's not like I'm missing the Simcha. There is no Simcha this weekend. I don't know if anybody saw that Rabbi Zev Lef is local. And when I found out he was going to be local last week, my husband showed me the paper. I said, we're not going to be here. We're going to be in Denver. So I reached out to him for a schedule, and he's giving a Shabbos afternoon Lidish shiur in a shul right near me. So it's a very small example because I couldn't be there. It's not like I'm missing the Simcha. There is no Simcha, so I'm going to be here. But I'm talking about when there's real calamities, it's harder for me. Maybe not for you. It's hard for me. Let's go. The first level, page 246, applying the lessons of the revealed situations to the hidden one. Okay, relates more to conditional love. So revealed to the hidden. So when it's revealed that it's Yad Hashem, you have to apply that to the hidden. By seeing that suffering that seems bad is really absolute kindness, the obstacle to conditional love disappears. So obviously it's easier to see kindness when something seems bad on a smaller scale. But here's why I said we're not going to do so much in the Sefer. When good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. So why am I now stopping? Because that's what's this week's parsha. Vayetze. And what happens in Vayetze that relates exactly to this statement? When good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. When good things happen, one thanks Hashem.
Leah has her children.
And more specifically, Yehuda. When good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. So I'm going to digress now to Sefer Bereishis. Okay, right, Esti, correct. I didn't see that you wrote it, but yes, naming Yehuda. So in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze, you know, it's funny. I find this is like Hashkacha. Sometimes I find I get a place in the Sefer, and it's exactly that Parsha. It's exactly that topic. Something exactly that week happened. Like, who said I should be exactly at that sentence right now, Parsha's Vayetze? I don't know. Okay, so Hashem said. So here we go. Yaakov marries Leah first, even though he wants to marry Rachel first. And Rachel is barren. She is unable to conceive. And Leah has 4 children in quick succession. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. God saw that Leah was hated. Vayiftach es rachma. He opened her womb. V'rachel akara. Rachel was barren. Vatahar Leah vatelid bein. Leah conceived and she gave birth to a son. Vatikra shmo Reuven. And she called his name Reuven because she said, ki ra Hashem ba'ani. God has seen my affliction. Because he has seen my affliction, ata yevani ishi. Now my husband will love me. So Reuven is Reu, ra'a Hashem. God has seen my affliction. I'll just tell you something really interesting. I saw today when I was preparing a couple of shiurim that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh teaches, and I did not have time to look up the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I did not have time to look up Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but something very, very interesting. Oh, I know where I saw it. In Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Sichus Musar. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz quotes Or HaChaim. What does it mean that Leah was hated, even though it's not the topic? The topic is really when one good things happen, you thank Hashem and you love him. But the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz quotes Or HaChaim, I did not have time to look up. It sounds like Yaakov went around hating Leah. And he went around loving Rachel. What does that mean? We're talking about Yaakov Avinu. So again, I didn't look up the Or HaChaim. But Vayar Hashem kisnu aleya, the difference was almost imperceptible. That's the right word, right? Imperceptible. Thank you so much. You finished it. Thank you so much. The difference was almost imperceptible. It wasn't that he went hating Leah, chas v'shalom, and loving Rachel. It was only a difference that Hashem noticed. Vayar, it doesn't say kisnu aleya, vayiftach Hashem es rachma. You have to pay very close attention to the lashon of the pesukim. Vayar Hashem kisnu aleya. Only Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Vayiftach es rachma. It was an imperceptible, am I using the word correctly? Imperceptible difference to everybody else. It was only between Yaakov and himself, so to speak. The Ribbono Shel Olam noticed that. So again, I didn't look up the Or HaChaim. It's a very beautiful teaching. It makes so much sense. And also it teaches us that even when others don't recognize your pain, Hashem always feels your pain and Hashem always knows. Vayar Hashem kisnua. On the outside to everybody, it looked totally normal. Nobody could tell the difference between Yaakov and Rachel and Yaakov and Leah. It doesn't say kisnua Leah vayiftach Hashem es rachma. Who noticed that she was hated? Who noticed the difference? Who felt her pain because she felt a difference? only the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore she has Reuven, Reu, Bein, see a son. Vatahar, Od, Vatelid, Bein, she conceived again and she gave birth to a son. Vatomer, Ki Shama Hashem, Ki Snu Anochi. See, it ties in. Shama Hashem, Ki Snu Anochi. Not the whole world heard that I was Snu'a. Not that there was cyberbullying, Chas V'Shalom. Not that I'm the secondary wife sitting on a back table and getting the leftovers. Ki Shama Hashem, Ki Snu Anochi. Only the Ribono Shel Olam heard my pain and heard that I was hated. Vayitein li gam etzeh, and he also gave me this. Shimon, and she calls his name Shimon. Vatahar od vateleid ben, and she conceived again, she gave birth to son Vatomer, and she said, Ata pom yilava ishi elai. Now this time my husband will accompany me. Yilava melava, ki yiladito shlosha banim, because I gave birth to him three sons. Alkein karashimo Levi. And now, the last sentence we read in our Sefer is, when good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. And what does Leah say now? Vatahar od vateleid ben, she conceived again and she gave birth to us. And this is the last pasuk of Perak Choftes, pasuk Lamed Hei. Vatomer, and what does she say? Hapa'am oda es Hashem. When good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. Rachel is unable to conceive. Leah just had her fourth child in quick succession. Hapam oda es Hashem. Al kein kara shemo Yehuda. This time I will thank Hashem. Therefore she called his name Yehuda. Vata'amod miladis. She stopped giving birth. So I'm going to begin by quoting Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch. Okay? And this is so, it's so famous about Leah. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Zion Amud Beis, that from the time the world was created, there was no one who gave thanks before Leah came along. That's a very, very unbelievable statement. There were 20 generations from Adam to Avram, and then figure three more generations, Yitzchak, Yaakov, to Leah. And the Gemara says that there was no one who gave thanks until Leah came along. And of course, we are called Yehudim after the tribe of Yehuda, because our essence is we're a people of thanks. So there's many ways to understand what does it mean when good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. So what does it mean? And the Sefer even says when bad things happen, one knows they're ultimately good, which is why we spend time in the summer talking about the Gemara, Kashem Shem Varchim Al Hatov, Kach Mevarchim Al Ra. So you don't only thank Hashem when good happens. Well, you thank when good happens, you bless when bad happens. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says on the names of the children, so Reuven ra'a Hashem be'ani, Shimon ki shama Hashem kisnu anochi. It was something that was noticed by God, by not by us. It's very profound insight. You know how something could be going on in your life and you walk around and everyone thinks you look normal and you feel normal and you talk normal and you act normal and you walk around this pain and you're thinking, who's feeling my pain? So who's feeling your pain? Vayar Hashem kisnu alei. Hashem's feeling your pain, even if everyone else thinks everyone thing is normal. The name she gave to her son, Shaul, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, that with each new son that she presented to her husband, her attitude became more and more loving. That's what Rav Hirsch says. First, Ra'a Hashem V'ani, Hashem has seen my affliction. Previously, Yaakov's preference for Rachel was visible. Now, this is reversed. So the Arachaim has his psha, of hers has his psha, Shivim Panamatar. So it doesn't mean it's contradictory. They complement each other in some way. Previously, Yaakov's preference for Rachel was visible and apparent to all. So that's what reverse says, visible and apparent to all. That changed with the birth of Reuven. But to Leah's ear, the preference was still audible. In other words, he still seemed to prefer Rachel. From the tone of Yaakov's voice, Leah sensed she had not yet won the full measure of his love. And so she named the second child Shimon from Shama. She heard the difference in his voice when he spoke to her and when he spoke to Rachel. With the birth of her third son, however, Levi, she felt the imbalance had been entirely erased. This is an extremely interesting pshat of Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. It's very unusual. Most, to my knowledge, she thanked Hashem, even though she didn't have exactly what she wanted. She was nevertheless able to say thank you. Rav Hirsch is not saying that. Rav Hirsch says she felt the imbalance had been erased between her and her husband and her and Rachel. There's an even relationship now. She expressed her full confidence that her relationship with her husband would be pure and true. Yilava ishi elai, my husband will accompany me. Lave milava denotes a close association of two people. One regards himself as the lova, the debtor of the other, and feels he owes his happiness to the other. Accordingly, not Leah, but Yaakov Karashmo Levi. The pasuk doesn't say she called his name. Rather, he called his name. So some say God called the name Levi, but here it says it was Yaakov. It would have been presumptuous on her part had she given the name. Coming from Yaakov's mouth, it was the sweetest acknowledgement. Hello, welcome. Hence, when the fourth son was born, she no longer regarded her newborn as a means of attaining a greater measure of her husband's love. That was already hers. When the fourth son was born, listen to the name change. It's completely different. The first three have something to do with her feelings of longing and lack. And the fourth is just thank you, Hashem. So I was giving a shiur yesterday. I said this is like goes way before the thank you, Hashem nation, you know, that has like, I don't know if it just swept the five towns or the whole world. This really precedes that. Okay, that's way before. Hence, when the fourth son was born, she no longer regarded her newborn as a means of attaining a greater measure of her husband's love. That was already hers. She simply rejoiced in her son. And as a delighted mother, she proclaimed, this time I can thank God. That's exactly what the Mechaber said. When good things happen, you thank Hashem and you love him. This time I can thank God just for his gift. Therefore, she named him Yehuda. So Yehuda represents thanks. According to Rav Hirsch, she felt that now she was on equal footing with her sister Rachel. I don't know how that's so indicated in the story, but that's where Rav Hirsch's pshat is. She doesn't feel a lack or a longing anymore. According to the Aral Chaim, it was only God. They were even in external appearances. It was only God who perceived her pain and not other people. I'm now going to Rabbi Rosner. Rabbi Shalom Rosner, he used to be the rabbi in Woodmere, maybe 10 years ago or so. He moved to Israel with his family. I think the Committee of No Fei Shemesh. So I'm quoting the Sefer Shalom Rav, Volume 1. And he brings a very big chiddush. A very big chiddush, something that actually I never saw before preparing my shiur for this week. And a very big chiddush. What was the source of her happiness? So Rav Soloveitchik says, she expressed thank you Hashem, even though she realized she didn't have everything she wanted, which was her husband's love. She still had enough to say thank you Hashem. She had so much for children to love and to care for. She was able to say thank you Hashem. So what does Michal Horowitz learn from there? We have to say thank you Hashem. This is my sentence. Even though I don't have everything I want, I have everything, God, that you know I need. I don't have everything I want, but I have everything that God knows that I need. That's my own synopsis or summation of Rabbi Soloveitchik's pshat into Ata Pam Oda Es Hashem. But Rabbi Rosner brings a beautiful chiddush. Okay? Again, the Gemara says, oh, actually, I could quote you the exact lashon of the Gemara. I just taught it earlier this week. The beauty of having your computer with you and you're giving shiur. 1 second. I want to quote the Lashon of Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara actually says, here we go. Masechah Brachos, Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Miyom Shabara HaKosh Baruch Hu Es Olamo, from the day that HaKosh Baruch Hu created his world, Lo Haya Adam Shahoda LaKosh Baruch Hu, there was no person who was Moda who gave thanks to HaKosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shabasa Leah, until Leah came V'hodaso, and she gave thanks to him. That's what the Gemara says. Shanemar Hapam Odes Hashem, this time I will thank Hashem. So the Gemara says there was no one who came from Brias HaOlam who gave thanks except Leah. So Rashi says on the Gemara, so what's Rashi's pshat? Why does she, what does it mean? Hapam Odes Hashem, this time I will thank Hashem. So who knows, what does Rashi say? It's very famous.
That she got more than her share.
Very nice. So Rashi says on the Gemara, Lafisha Rasa Beruach HaKodesh, she saw with divine inspiration, She Yaakov Mamid Shneim Asar Shvatim, this is Rashi to the Gemara, Maseches Brachos Zayin Beis, that she saw in Ruach HaKodesh that Yaakov would establish 12 tribes, Velo Arba Nashim, and he had 4 wives, Kevan Shayalda Ben Revi, when she had her 4 sons, it's easy math, 4 wives, 12 tribes, how many should each wife get? 3 sons, says Rashi, Kevan Shayalda Ben Revi'i, once she had a 4th son, Hodes Al-Chalka, she gave thanks for a portion. That's why she didn't give thanks for 1, 2, or 3, specifically by 4. She said, whoa, I wasn't deserving. Sha'ala Yoser, you said she got more than her portion. That's exactly right. Sha'ala Yoser min Acheshbon HaMagiala. She got more than her portion that, according to her calculations, she was deserving of receiving. So now I'm going to tell you, so we quoted the Aruch Chaim, and we quoted Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, and we quoted daughter of Salvechik, Amicha Horitz's interpretation of the Rav, and the Gemara Maseches Brachos. Now I'm going to bring you a big chiddush, I think, from Rabbi Shalom Rosner, and it's very, very beautiful. Rabbi Shalom Rosner writes as follows. This is the Sefer Shalom Rav, weekly insights on the Parsha. Vatahar od, she conceived again, vateleid bein, and she gave birth to her son, vatomer pam odes Hashem, this time I'll thank Hashem, therefore she called his name Yehuda, and she stopped from giving birth. Four in quick succession, and now she stopped. Leah gave birth to her four sons, says Rabbi Rosner, and named him Yehuda to acknowledge her gratitude to Hashem. Okay. It's very important. You know, we speak about gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. It's like a saying and giving thanks. And sometimes you find that people don't say thank you. I find it very strange. It just happened to me very recently, in doing a favor. It's not that I need the thanks. I just cannot even understand. Like, I literally cannot understand how a person could not say thank you. I find it so bizarre. How could it not be ingrained into who you are as a person, as a Jew? Your whole name is a Yehudi. I don't gain anything if you say thank you or don't say thank you. But what does it reflect about a person? It's you have to take a muster. Maybe sometimes that's me. I don't know. I don't think so. I hope not, but I don't know. The Gemara states that Leah was the first person to thank Hashem from the day the world was created. I quote you the Lashon of the Gemara. Nobody thanked Hashem. This is surprising. Everyone asks this kasha. Rabbi Rosner just gives a beautiful chiddush. Did Adam never say thank you, Hashem, when his wife was created, when he was in Gan Eden, when Hashem forgave him after the sin, when God made him clothing? Noach never said thank you for saving me from the deluge. Wow, what a miracle. I'm in this ark and everything's destroyed and I can't believe I'm alive. Avram, nobody ever expressed gratitude to Hashem before Leah came along. So everyone asked that question. He's going to answer with a Gemara based on Masechah Shabbos. Kuf Yud Ches. Gemara Shabbos 118 states, ready? One who recites Hallel every day. Are we allowed to recite Hallel every day? Hallel Gadol. No. Correct. What is it? How do you know that? You just know.
But it's part of Tehillim.
What?
It is part of Tehillim.
It's Kapitel Tehillim Kuf Yud Gimel from Kuf Yud Ches. So if you say that, sit down and you say it as your party Tehillim, so it's part of your Tehillim. But if you say it as part of the structure of your Tefillah, like you're saying Halal every day, so the Gemara says you're a Mecharef Umegadef. You're like one who blasphemes. Blasphemes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay? You blaspheme the name of God. The Gemara says the one who recites Halal every day is a blasphemer. Blasphemer?
Blasphemer.
Most commentators explain this refers to the Hallel of Hodu Lashem, which we recite every Shabbos morning, also known as Hallel Haggadah. However, I was just learning on a different sefer when I was preparing this shir on the Meshach Chochma that some say it's referring to the Hallel that we say on Rosh Chodesh on the Yamim Tovim. So what's so wrong with saying Hallel every day? What's so wrong with reciting Hallel every day? That's Rabbi Rosner's next statement. The Ksav Sofer explains, in reality, we should be thanking Hashem for everything, for every breath we take. Saying Hallel is a sign of recognizing what? When we say Hallel, what are we recognizing? I didn't hear. Did you say something, Sarah?
Hashem's control over the world. Or he's involved in all the day-to-day activities.
He's involved in?
All, every activity.
Like, no, Adarabba. You mamish that backwards. I was learning this in depth before I came. I was learning a complicated piece of the Meshach Chachma, very complicated, that I don't think I'm going to be teaching here. It's very text-based and complicated. But Adarabba, where he quotes the Gemara says, one who says Tehillah the David, which is what we call Ashrei every day, acknowledges Hashem's involvement in every aspect and the day-to-day. Because the Gemara says it's an alphabetical order, so like from Aleph to Tav, A to Z, God's involved in everything. So Tehillah the David, which we call Ashrei, signifies God's dominion over the everyday. And the Gemara says one who says Ashrei every day is a Ben Olam Haba, because he's acknowledging Hashem's control over the everyday. So now we come back to Hallel. What does Hallel symbolize? Not Hashem's control over the everyday. Hayam Ra'a Vayanas. What does that mean? What is that?
Miracles.
Miracles. Miracles. Not the everyday. It doesn't really start with Asher Yoshvi. The first two psukim are from a difficult building. Tehila le David. Armimcha Hashem. B'chol yom avarchecha. B'chol yom. God Hashem ma'al ma'ad. From Av to Tav, he's involved in every aspect of every day. Whoever says Asher every day, Tehila le David, is muv takshu ben olam haba. He's guaranteed he's going to the eternal world because he acknowledges God's dominion over every aspect of my life every day. What's halal? Acknowledging Hashem's control of miracles, nisim, v'niflaos. That's why, when is it said? We're coming up to Hanukkah. When is it said? When we acknowledge Hashem's control over miracles, that God who makes vinegar burn can make oil burn. And not only did the oil burn for one day, but it burned for 8 days, 7 extra days. So then what do we say? Hallel, this is miraculous. Pesach, what do we say? Hallel, it's miraculous. So now you might ask me about Rosh Chodesh. Why do we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? It's a Geshmak Pasha. Last week, Rabbi Akiva Willig's Thursday night shir was all about why we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. I wasn't there. It was a men's shir. But it's not so Pasha. It's an interesting. Apparently, is anyone here Sephardi? Or on Zoom type? Yeah, the Sephardim apparently do not say Hallel with a bracha on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, generally, when do we say Leil Pesach? What are we celebrating on the night of Pesach? Yes. Miracles. We're not celebrating the everyday. We're celebrating miracles. So now we go back to Rabbi Rosner. So the Gemara teaches one who recites Hala every day is a mecharef umegadef, like the mekalal in the desert, precious Ember. Someone who blasphemes, who rebels, who denies, who takes the name of God in vain, who curses Hashem. The Ksav, what is so wrong with reciting Hallel every day that the Gemara would say, Mecharef u'migadef? The Ksav Sofer explains, in reality, we should thank Hashem for everything, for every breath we take. Saying Hallel is a show of recognizing Hashem's miracles. It's not like, I don't mean a show, like a display, fake. No, we are acknowledging Hashem's miracles. Chanukah, Pesach, miracles, Shavuos, Revelation. If you recite Hallel Haggadah every day, it means you recognize Hashem is in charge of the miracles of the world. Yes, are we okay so far? It means you see Hashem is in charge of the miracles of the world. To praise Hashem each and every day for the miracles he performs is recognizing the great events, however. And then, perhaps, when you recognize only the great events, you disregard the
everyday
small events. Highlighting the great miracles every day belittles we take for granted on every day on a daily basis. He doesn't use the word Teva, but that's what the Meshech Chachma says. The sun rising, flowers blooming, being able to walk. In fact, my sister-in-law just reached out today. She posted, she said, the leaves are so gorgeous today. Did anyone notice the color of the leaves today? Yes or no? Not if you were in school the whole day. You probably got there when it was just light and you left when it was already dark. But the rest of us, did anyone notice the color of the leaves? They were stunning. So I said to her, I noticed them on my fast walk this morning. It was just a gorgeous fall day. So she pointed out, she said, imagine Hashem's kindness. This was her reply that he does for us. She says, he made the world so beautiful. He could have made the leaves green and they would have fallen off the tree and then green when they grow back. She said, I don't know what's more beautiful. The leaves change colors and fall off in the fall or when the trees begin to blossom again in the spring. But what is that? That's not B'tzei Sushalm in Mitzrayim. What is that? It's nature, it's the everyday. So someone who says Hallel Haggadah every day is saying, I recognize Hashem's hand in the miracles. But the miracles are really the Yotzei Min HaKlal. Most of life is not exceptionally miraculous. Most of life is naturally miraculous. So what do you need to say every day? Not Hallel Haggadah, but Poseach HaSodachim Mespilecha Chayitzan, Ritzon Hashem Yireyav, Ba'al Shavasim Mishma V'Yoshiyam. What do you need to say every day? Thank you Hashem for the leaves on the trees, the gorgeous fall day, blossoming flowers, sun rising. Does everyone know I've been stargazing for the past few nights? Oh my gosh. At dusk, public service announcement. You can see lined up from the southeast to the southwest sky, Jupiter, Saturn, the moon, and Venus. It's amazing. Jupiter, Saturn, the moon, Venus. Venus is so bright, it's breathtaking. Jupiter is very bright, Saturn is dim, and you just stand there and you feel like, what am I? I can see half the whole solar system here with the naked eye. It is so incredible. But what is it? It's just Teva. It's just nature. That's why, says the, 2 nights ago, Monday night, I literally stood outside for, I think, 40 minutes. I was just so speechless. And I keep going out to check. My son came home from work. He's like, Mommy, did you check? Quick. He was making fun of me. He's like, quick, before it sets. Because Venus is low in the southwest sky. And as it starts to get darker, it sets. That's why it says, it doesn't really set. The earth is moving. That's why it says, the Ksav Sofer, reciting Halal every day is not something Chazal enacted. Chazal wants us to pay attention to the color of the leaves and the planets in the sky. And the ability to breathe and eat and swallow and chew and smell and taste. And sometimes you should notice the miracles. So let's not forget the topic of the Shir. The topic of the Shir is when good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves Him. So how does this come back to Leah? Well, what do you think the answer is going to be? Here's a bit of Chiddush here. The Gemara says, from the time of the world's creation, nobody thanked Hashem besides for Leah. So Leah came along and she says, now I say thank you, Hashem. How does it tie into everything else? Yes?
Maybe she's the first one to thank Hashem for, let's say, something natural like having a child.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. She was the first one to thank Hashem for like that. It wasn't the first child after 10 years. Then I can understand. She would say, I thank you, Hashem. In fact, it wasn't the first child. Maybe thank you, Hashem. Wow. This is the fourth child. Another one. I had another one. Okay, I have one who's four, one who's three, one who's two, and I had another one. What does she say? It's the most natural thing in the world. And what does Leah say? This time. And you can just chalk it off to nature. And you can just say, well, that's how the world runs. She says, thank you, Hashem. Very nice. Says Rabbi Rosner, the Avos certainly praised and thanked Hashem. But they lived a life of tremendous miracles. I mean, Avram was saved from the Kivshan Ha'ish. Okay? It's brought down by Rashi to Perikit Al Pasuch of Ches. Okay, so that's like a huge miracle. So he probably said thank you. But what did people say thank you for? The miraculous. He went to war against the four kings for the five kings against the four kings. He wasn't a warrior, but he won. He won the war. His son was saved. He was almost shechted. It's a miracle. He was saved. So he said thank you many times. His wife is taken by power, and Avimach, and never abused. That's a miracle. Leah, Rabbi Rosner's proposing, based on this Gemara from Masech HaShabbos, is the first one to say, a fourth child. I mean, it's nice, Baruch Hashem, but it's every day. That's just how Hashem made the world. The Avos certainly praised and thanked Hashem, but they lived a life of tremendous miracles. So their praise may not have been viewed as the highest level of Hodaah. The highest level of Hodah is not Halach HaGadol that you see on the Yamim Tovim. The highest level of Hodah is Tehila LeDavid, Aromimcha Hashem. The highest level of Hodah is Poseich HaSyadach HaMasbilucho HaCharitzon. That's what the Meshech Chachma talks about in that piece. He says the greatest miracle, says the Meshech Chachma, is that Hashem provides food for all the world's inhabitants every single day from the time of creation. You don't think that's a miracle? That's the greatest miracle. Leah, on the other hand, gave birth to Yehuda in the usual, natural. She conceived normally, the pregnancy, and she gave birth naturally. Thousands of babies are born each day. Probably today it's millions, huh? If you like the whole world. I don't know. I never looked up the statistic. What was the great miracle of Yehuda's birth? It was natural. No great miracle occurred. It was part of Teva. Leah recognized Hashem's greatness and kindness and thanked Him for what we view as an event of nature. Leah was the first to thank Hashem, you said it exactly, for something natural, recognizing there's nothing natural about nature. To appreciate what appears mundane, is often a great miracle performed by Hashem on our behalf. To appreciate that the everyday is really a miracle performed by Hashem on our behalf, we have to internalize this message and remember in our lives too. Maybe that's why if you say Poseich HaSyadach and you don't have concentration, I don't know, I'm just giving a hashkafic reason, maybe why you have to go back and say it again. Because the greatest miracle, it's the Meshech Chachma, if anyone's interested, it's the first Meshech Chachma to Parshas B'chukosai, last Parsha in Vayikra. Because if you don't recognize that the greatest miracle is that Hashem sustains billions of people every single day, around the world, around the globe for 5,782 years, and you don't even have the ability to concentrate, by posecha sodachu masbi l'cho chayretzan, Hashem opens his hands and satiates all those in need. How much food is God producing? That, says the Meshech Chachma, is the biggest miracle. And what did Leah say? Thank you, Hashem, for something that most people view as absolute teva. And that's the chiddush that he proposes, the Novel Torah insights that he proposes as to what it possibly means. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, from the time the world came into being, Leah was the first one to thank Hashem. There's a beautiful footnote that I'm going to read to you. There are six comments on the chat. Maybe we say Halan Rosh Chodesh. That was the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. Yes. It's directly tied to the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have control over time. Okay, so Halan Rosh Chodesh, since Rosh Chodesh was given to us in Parshas Bo, and therefore it's linked to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a miracle. Okay, nice. Could be. I don't know. I wasn't at Rabbi Willig Shir, and he's very text-based and halachic, so he probably had a lot of sources. I wasn't there, but could be. Okay, so the footnote says, Rav Yerucham Levavitz explains that we bring fruit as bikurim, the first fruits. We bring first fruits as bikurim, devarim parachavav, even though it seems like a small token of appreciation. So the bikurim is one out of 60. So if you have 60 rimonim on your tree, you keep 59 and the kohen gets one. And if you have 120 figs, you get two and he gets 118. Like, what kind of token of appreciation is that? It instills in us the need to be appreciative for the little things in life, and acknowledge that those small natural things, like the Shivas Haminim growing, all come from Hashem. And he tells over the following story. Rabbi David Miller, a Rosh Yeshiva in the YU Gross Kolal, mentioned in his eulogy of Rabbi Benny Eisner, Zichron Alevracha. Does anyone know who that is? I don't. I'm just asking. That Rabbi Eisner was the Baal Tokei in the Gross Kolal for many years on Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Miller was the Makre. Makre. When Rabbi Eisner was very sick, Rabbi Miller did not think Rabbi Eisner would be able to blow the shofar that Rosh Hashanah morning. But when the time came, Rabbi Eisner said he was going to blow. He began the blowing. He did the first 30, the second 30, and then the last set of clothes, he couldn't do it anymore. After davening, Rabbi Miller went over to Rabbi Eisner to see how he was feeling. And Rabbi Eisner said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so good to me. All my life, I never thanked him for every breath I was able to take. Now, with every breath I'm able to take, I thank Hashem, because every breath is so obviously a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. I think it's a tremendous chiddush. What was Leah saying thank you for, says Rabbi Rosner? Natural. And she was the first person. The Avos and the Imahos, the personalities in Bereishis, were living totally miraculous lives. It's a miracle that Noah survived. Okay, he built a teva, but how did they all fit in there for 1 year? All the animals, 8 people, all the refuse and the garbage, and they didn't die and they didn't suffocate and there was enough oxygen. I mean, just think of it. It's because he built a teva. Who said it's not miraculous? He had to do his ishtalos, but it's still a nes, so he can't thank the Hashem. He brought korbanos. She's the first one to say thank you, Hashem, for teva. And it's a lesson for us. It's a big lesson. I'm quoting from Risa Rotman, Tara and Amuna in Harnof. So Risa writes as follows. Okay. It was her son's yahrzeit. They lost a child, Ellie, in a biking accident a few years before her husband was murdered in the Harnof terror attack. And then she had an appointment at the hospital. So this, obviously, the vignette I'm about to share relates to the topic of Shir. In Israel, the humble tomato is the king of vegetables. Excuse me. Salads, which appear at most meals, at least in my house, must have tomatoes to provide their zesty taste. Therefore, the appearance and abundance of the tomato can be the highlight of the weekly grocery shopping. On that very emotionally heavy day, visiting my son's grave, writes Risa, on having the appointment at the hospital. Just as I reached the tomato bin, a worker poured out the reddest, juiciest, and most gorgeous tomatoes. I finished picking my precious produce. I took a step back and I said, quote, thank you, Hashem, for bringing me these perfect-looking tomatoes. So I think that's a madriga that I said, you know, that's what the author's talking about, that even when it's very dark, she had gone to Ali Zuchanov's grave, and Her husband was in a vegetative comatose state for a year. She was able to find beautiful tomatoes, and she was able to say, and I'm quoting, "Thank you, Hashem, for bringing me these perfect-looking tomatoes." And that is certainly Teva. That's certainly nature. They're tomatoes. I think most of us look at a newborn baby as more miraculous than tomatoes, even though they're both Teva. They really are. The following Tuesday, I was back at the supermarket again. It had been another difficult day. I was waiting for the car paperwork to come through. I was dealing with mounds of unfinished paperwork. And in general, I felt like I was chasing myself in circles. I approached the tomato bins, hoping for a reenactment of the previous week. Instead, I saw a pile of pale and unappetizing tomatoes. I was disappointed. And then I realized what I was going to do, reframe my reaction. And maybe you could say a little bit that Leah teaches us about the ability to reframe. The first three, my husband hates me, God saw my affliction, maybe my husband will love me and accompany me. And by the fourth one, she said, I can't change the external situation of my life. If you don't feel I'm speaking to you, that's okay, but I'm definitely speaking to Michal Horowitz. You can't change the external situation of your life. The only thing I can change through reframing and hoda'a is my reaction to the external situation of my life. I'm something as small as tomatoes, but maybe for her, with what she was going through, it wasn't so pasha, not so small. Who's to say what's small and what's big? And for Leah, it was not having her husband's love and not being that keres habayis. The Torah tells us clearly that Rachel is the keres habayis. And for all of you, it's whatever you're walking around with, it only vayar Hashem, that only Hashem sees. We all have things that only the Ribbono Shel Olam sees. And Risa says she had to reframe her reaction. And that's, I think, another insight. I'm applying that to Leah. The ability, the wisdom to reframe our lives and look at it through a different lens. I saw pale and unappetizing tomatoes. I was initially disappointed, and I realized I had to reframe. I stepped back. I looked at the pitiful produce, and I said, thank you, Hashem. Why did you say when the tomatoes were gorgeous? Thank you, Hashem, for gorgeous tomatoes. If you do read this book, I recommend it so often. If you didn't read it, just read it. Teran Amuna in Harnov. Art school. Hashem, thank you so much for allowing me the gift of living in Israel. So now she didn't thank Hashem Davka for the tomatoes. She reframed. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me the gift of living in Israel. Now it's the Shemitah year, which is, by the way, now it's the Shemitah year. It's the year in, oh, that's right. It was the seventh Yahrzeit. This was the seventh Yahrzeit of the terror attack. It was a week and a half ago. It was the seventh Yahrzeit. Oh, now it's the Shemitah year, the year in which the land rests. And in the Shemitah year, it often happens that the tomatoes are not so nice. But thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to live here. So we all have to find the kochos within ourselves, because the external is not changing. And if everything Hashem does is for the best, I start off here by saying I have a much easier time saying, oh, geschmack, she didn't go to the program, she got the scholarship. You see, Al Hashem, and it's small things. But when it's the very big things, it's harder to say, called Avad Rachman Latav Avad. Everything Hashem does is for the best. But we have to reframe. So Rav Hirsch says there was actually a change in their relationship. That's what Rav Hirsch says, which seems very unique. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, as quoted by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I did not look up the Or HaChaim, I really was working the whole day. Only Hashem saw her pain, and therefore he opened her womb. Ayiftach es rachma, he opened up his treasury of rachamim, because he alone saw her pain. Rav Soloveitchik says, and I'm paraphrasing, she was able to give thanks, even though she didn't have everything she wanted, for what she did have, what God knew she needed. Rav Rosner gives a beautiful chiddush, which is that she was the first person to thank Hashem for the natural. My sister-in-law Mamish texted me, imagine, it was leaves. I thought they were gorgeous also, but her text was, imagine Hashem's kindness, that he made the fall so beautiful and the world so gorgeous. The leaves could have fallen off green and just grown back green. Rabbi Rosner says she thanked Hashem for the natural, And that was the first person to give thanks. And I, based on Risa Rotman and saying that perhaps Leah was also able to reframe her situation. Because maybe nothing actually changed. From the text, it certainly doesn't seem that anything actually changed. From the text, it seems that Yaakov still loved Rachel, and Leah was always a secondary wife. So what actually changed at this time? She was able to say, thank you, Hashem. And all the other times, she wasn't. Risa got to the tomato bins, and first she was frustrated and disappointed. And then she said, I need to reframe. And what did she say? Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to live in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year and keep Shemitah, even if the tomatoes aren't so beautiful. So we have many different insights into one sentence of the book. When good things happen, one thanks Hashem and loves him. With that, I picked out the best tomatoes I could find, and I went on with my shopping. And, says Risa, I was smiling. So Be'ezer Hashem, she'av some chizuk from this year. And whichever nekuda, you might relate to all of the interpretations of Apam Odes Hashem. But the bottom line is, when good things happen, we thank Hashem. And even when, Rachman Litzlan, bad things happen, we have to remember they're ultimately good. And there should be nothing to block our Ahavas Hashem, our love of God. So I wish everybody we could besoros tovos. May the Nesham of Merim Fril, Merim Beschaim Yitzchak, allow Hashem, Merit a continuous Aliyah. Thank you all for coming in person. Thank you all for coming in Zoom. Besoros tovos and good Shabbos to everybody. Kol tov.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you.